Welcome to Women Who Protect, a series within the ONTIC Protective Intelligence podcast. In a profession largely dominated by men, we spotlight women working in a wide range of positions within security, protection, and law enforcement. We'll hear their stories, discuss their accomplishments, and get their advice for women and girls who may be interested in a career in protection or security. I'm Dr. Marisa Randazzo with ONTIC's Center for Connected Intelligence. After nearly three decades of experience working in security and protection, first at the U.S. Secret Service, and then in the private sector, providing security guidance to corporations, educational institutions, and high-profile individuals, I know firsthand the immense value that women bring to this field, and I know the challenges that we face. I look forward to sharing the stories of women who protect and hope they inspire other women and girls to join our ranks. Now, on to the podcast. I'm here today with Cheryl Dick, Senior Director of Enterprise Protection and Travel at Chick-fil-A. Cheryl started her first role at Chick-fil-A back when she was 16 years old as a part-time associate, making the unconventional start to her impressive career trajectory within the organization. Now, in her current role, Cheryl serves as the leader of Enterprise Protective Services, a position she undertook with the challenge of establishing Chick-fil-A's inaugural dedicated security function back in 2015. Her diverse portfolio encompasses oversight of campus operations, transportation and reception, as well as pivotal roles in corporate aviation, corporate travel, and corporate transportation services. Cheryl, welcome to Women Who Protect. It's wonderful to have you here with us today.
Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.
Good. So in this podcast, we often start at the beginning for women's careers to say, like, how did you get in security? And we often hear a similar path. I got into law enforcement. I was in the military. Your path is very different. I would love to start with, how did you get into the position you are now? And it sounds like we may need to go back to things that are not security related, but just tell me about your career path.
I was happy to. Yes, very non-traditional, as I've benchmarked and been in this industry now for a little over 10 years. So started out working for Chick-fil-A as a teenager, actually, in a restaurant close to my home, worked through high school and college, went on staff and was a training instructor. So I taught new franchisees, operational aspects of the business, some business management classes, and thoroughly enjoyed that, but truly missed being in the restaurant, being with customers, and particularly with team members. I love helping others develop and reach their potential and achieve their goals. So I just had some conversation, obviously, with my spouse and talked about what we wanted to do for the next kind of part of my professional career. And so I applied to be a franchisee and was selected in 1990 for a restaurant here in Atlanta. And subsequently, in a couple of years, opened two more restaurants. So I had three restaurants called multi-restaurant operator. Loved all aspects of the operation. And obviously security was one of them, protecting my team members and my guests and the assets in the restaurant. But it came to a point where Chick-fil-A was growing so fast. I really wanted to be a part of helping protect the entrepreneur relationship with the home office, having been an operator. So I pursued an opportunity and became a director of field operations. So I led some a couple of teams that would support both our traditional and non-traditional franchisees. I loved doing that. Some of that was in the aspects of security, but primarily it was in the direct, you know, brand attributes of protecting the food, the customer experience, and then just, you know, anything else that the operators might need. So did that for quite a few years and then had the opportunity to kind of add to that my responsibilities, restaurant security. So started out just leading that. as I kind of grew my security acumen, attended conferences, benchmark, I realized, you know, we're growing and the opportunity to kind of merge restaurant security and the corporate security, which was one person leading it on our support center side. We need to bring those subject matter expertise together. It made sense to be much more aligned and, you know, learn from one another, kind of build upon, you know, the expertise that each of the individuals had that were leading those bodies of work. I'd actually selected someone on the restaurant side to own that full time. So in 2015, the business asked us to stand up a function, and we've been going at it ever since.
That is remarkable. And I absolutely love the very non-traditional way that, in a way, security came to you. This was additional functions you were taking on as you were growing the number of restaurants and doing field operations. And so tell me about standing up the security function. Is this the GSOC that you're talking about?
No, it's actually just the function in general. We started out just as a small team of myself and three individuals. Again, someone focused on restaurants, someone focused on corporate, and then we had some administrative and project support. And as we started, we had quite a rash of burglaries in the Houston area. So it gave us an opportunity to address some of the legacy equipment in the restaurant, kind of really understand how to support operators through those pretty trying times in their restaurants, because they were quite destructive in the restaurant as they made their entry and exit into the building and in and out of the buildings. But so it gave us a lot of opportunity to be in front of our executive committee and talk about not only what we needed to do in the interim relative to these burglaries, but we painted a vision and a picture of where we felt like security across the whole enterprise would need to go as the business diversified and continued to grow, and how we could support and protect the protection of assets and people, most importantly, people, well beyond just guards and gates, because I don't know about others, but my experience initially in this space was that's how people thought of security. Make sure the doors are locked, security alarms are set, and at our corporate office that we had some presence of, you know, officers on the property. So, then it was able to grow to where we are today at a team of 16.
So tell me about that vision. What beyond guards and gates? What did you see as the potential, and have you been able to realize that?
We have, our vision statement is, we provide travel, because I have also corporate travel in my group in aviation, but that we, as a group, provide protection and travel expertise to enable Chick-fil-A's best future. So as we think about that, it's not only just physical protection, it's really helping grow a mindset of protection and the everyday decisions that staff and or operators make and as they go along their day. It might be their personal safety and security, how they come back and forth to the whatever office space they're working at that day. Is it the franchisees thinking about how to, you know, protect their team members, how to ensure there's operational disciplines around, like, keeping the back door closed? but we just wanted them to understand that we could serve the business and bring this expertise no matter what the need was in the business as we were growing.
That is really, that is a cutting edge mindset within the field of security generally, to make everyone part and parcel of security for an entire enterprise. Mm-hmm. And I'm particularly impressed given that you came from a really non-traditional path to security as a career. So tell me, but you also stood up the GSOC for Chick-fil-A, yeah, the Global Security Operations Center. Tell me about this. What was that experience like? Has that changed your, tell me about that experience first, and then I've got a follow-up question.
Absolutely. We started out in a very small little maintenance closet with a set of monitors that, we're watching the support center. And as we started building out, and bring clarity to our vision, we realized that, the way we supported operators was changing a little bit. We began to actually, we stood up a distribution function within Chick-fil-A. So we were able to see a need and an opportunity to address when there were access control problems at the back door with the key drop deliveries. So the GSOC enables us to have our, or what we call our EPIC, our Enterprise Protection Information Center, because it's much more than just operations. But we're able to remotely access the back door so that we would not have to turn drivers away at the point of late hours in the evening, nor would we the operator have to be interrupted in the middle of the night to address the issue. So that's been a huge value add to our operators and enabled us to build a technology and systems and processes that remove that pain point for them. Additionally, as we brought these distribution centers on, we've been in the mindset of having a centralized security function and support of those distribution centers. So we have access, again, remote access to those buildings, but most importantly, we're monitoring those. Even beyond security, our security guards will walk through and do temperature checks on refrigerators. They'll check in and out the trucks as they come on and off the lots, take temperature checks at that point. So we're involved in the actual operation of those centers, not just providing perimeter and facility security. So the EPICS enabled us to do that, as well as we're building an intelligence capability. We've had a maturing executive protection program, and that intelligence capability will continue to support that group, as well as just the business in general. So we were able to see when there are security incidents that might affect even a restaurant, where we could make a phone call and give them a heads up.
We'll get back to the conversation in just a moment. But first, I want to tell you about ONTIC Center for Connected Intelligence. In the world of safety, security, and protection, we know that sharing information is crucial. That's why we created the ONTIC Center for Connected Intelligence. The center is a hub for the ongoing exchange of security strategies and best practices, insights on current and past trends, and sharing valuable information through expert discussion and analysis. It's made up of subject matter experts with decades of experience across a wide range of disciplines. To find blogs, podcasts, webinars, white papers, and more, check out the center by visiting ontic.co/center. That's ontic.co/center.
Has running the GSOC, building and running this GSOC, and now looking at all the different aspects of security affecting your restaurants, your distribution centers, delivery operations, things like that, has your view of the threat landscape to your enterprise and or retail or food service generally, has it changed along the way? Has it broadened your awareness of different threats, or has the threat landscape itself changed in the time you've been doing this?
Yeah, I would say this threat level landscape has changed. When you think about distribution center, they're in industrial parks, so that was a new environment for which we had to evaluate how to run an operation. The landscape with our restaurants, we've had a rash of burglaries lately. So just the environment in which operators are doing business, it's become challenging. Homelessness, the vagrancy, quite honestly, just how people perceive relationships. It becomes much more combative in the restaurant. You see stories and headlines of customer experiences where they're upset and throwing punches over missing ketchup packs in their order.
Right.
So we just start trying to understand exactly what the threats are in these, and we're growing internationally, so that's a whole different set of threats and concerns to navigate. So a growing business, we're having to stretch our thinking and stretch the services that we're providing.
Yeah, absolutely. And your description of the behavior change, I think, is an important one. So it's that in the past couple of years, and my field is behavioral threat assessment. So I look at individual threats to, C-suite, to high profile individuals, to brands, and help to figure out if there's a risk, and then how do we mitigate? so much of the threats that we've been seeing over the past couple of years have really been driven out of individuals operating at kind of like the end of their rope, feeling like they are, you know, and so that missing ketchup packet on when I could see could be a tipping point for some. And so that's it's right. Like, how do you get ahead of it? Have you looked at, you know, are there things that you've been able to identify, particularly as an individual restaurant, you know, and franchisee initially, are you able to bring that perspective to look at the operations of individual restaurants or at trends that you may be seeing? How has that informed your security decision making?
Absolutely. You know, I'm a mom and a grandmother, so the protection of the individuals in the restaurants is really top of mind for me. And so, you know, given our franchise relationship, you know, there's not a lot of mandates relative to most areas of the business operation. So providing resources, answering questions for franchisees, being as proactive as we can of putting resources out there or topics to discuss when we're with them individually or happen to be in a market meeting with some of the other field representatives, just trying to keep those things top of mind, because sometimes it's not just a matter of if, but when it's going to happen in your restaurant. So how are you equipping your team members from a de-escalation standpoint? I had one of the members on my team I have a lot of people who have worked for the three-letter agencies. So they were able to bring some of that perspective, and some of the resources we were able to develop was a de-escalation module for a restaurateur, for our operators to use with their team members to help them understand. Yes, you're selecting great team members behind the restaurant, but sometimes they'll reach that tipping point. And so how can a manager or, you know, even a team leader kind of step in and help de-escalate a confrontation between team members, and then the same thing across the counter? So we just want to try to get ahead of it and enable the operators to be prepared.
Oh, this is great work. It feels, I love the fact that you share that you're a mom, because I do feel like for so many of us working in security who are women in security, women who protect, but also are mothers, there's a natural, a mindset of helping, like, I need to keep that person safe. Don't touch the stove. Don't cross the street.
Don't have that mindset,
right. Absolutely. They do. But there's something about the, like, bringing this, like, you've spent years thinking through the what happens if aspect for a little ones, anything like that can help enhance a security mindset for those of us who are also mothers. And I think parents generally. The de-escalation piece is fascinating to me. Is this training that you do, like, is it online training? Is it in person? Like, how's that actually delivered?
It's an online module that the operators can self-select into and use with their teams.
Okay. It's such smart work. And again, it gets back to the people aspect of this, the common thread of people and keeping people safe and giving them tools to keep themselves safe as well. You mentioned a moment ago about, you know, starting out with sort of a closet with monitors or a small workroom with monitors. Tell me, how has technology changed the way you do work? If it's changed, it has enhanced it. Has it made it more complex?
I would say it's enhanced it. I'm not a tech geek, so for me personally, that was a space where I spent a lot of time just trying to understand at the very highest levels and try not to speak over my skis when I'm trying to explain what we do in our Epic.
Great analogy.
I think it's really enabled our efficiency, the manner and the timeliness in which we're able to respond to operator needs. We staff it 24/7. We've actually moved and outsourced to security professionals who are trained very specifically on how to handle emergency situations. We're hoping to bring on a new platform with ONTIC that will give us a much more robust case management capability, because right now it's very much documents and in SharePoint. So it's not easy to pull analytics out of it to tell the great story about you know, what we're doing and how we're supporting the business. I'm very excited about that. I feel like the capability will enable us to, you know, track people of interest, because we do get those awful letters or awful phone calls. And if we can get information and kind of track a person of interest, are they just doing, you know, kind of things that aren't a real high threat risk, or are they actually showing up in the restaurants and having and demonstrating the same behavior? And so we can be aware and help the restaurant, the operators address that at the restaurant level.
Oh, that's great too. To give, so you've got the visibility at an enterprise level, but you can also help individual restaurant owners to do that's, wow, that's really, really smart. And we see a lot of that, right? I mean, there's, I'm not sure if you've seen an increase in it, but certainly in the field of threat assessment generally, we've seen a real increase across sectors in terms of people who really are kind of keyboard warriors. They are there to threaten and have outrage at anything and everything that, you know, C-suite leaders do, that that a brand does, no matter what the brand is, no matter what it is. But you don't see that same behavior. They don't show up. And the ones you really do need to worry about are the ones who take the time to come to a location and do the
exactly right
thing. Tell me a bit. I have loved hearing your career trajectory. As you look back, as you kind of got into security in this non-traditional way, is there advice that you have for women and girls who may want to pursue a career in security or even follow the career path that you did? So tell me what advice you may have for them.
Yeah, I think what helps anyone to be successful in any role that they pursue is really just being an avid learner. I feel like that, you know, I came in with a perspective, yes, to the restaurant, but I didn't come from this industry, so I don't necessarily, I'm always looking at someone through that lens like law enforcement does, like several of the members on my team. So it's nice to learn and build that capability in myself. Reading and, you know, being comfortable with just kind of exploring and relationship building with peers, and just being committed to how to articulate once you decide you want to be in the industry or whatever industry it might be, but if it's security, kind of what are your objectives? What is your vision? I think that's the hardest thing within the security space, is because you're trying to talk about the negatives, the things that aren't happening, because that's your job, is to prevent them. So when your data says, oh, we had zero XYZ, I'm like, okay, well, how do you articulate that? That is truly value to the organization. So I think just having a broad mindset of growth and learning and being open to possibilities. When they first approached me about leading, standing up security, I said just that. I am not a security expert. I'm willing to learn. And that's what we've been doing ever since.
That is a great mindset. You also mentioned at the beginning that when you were asked to take on this role, you started to attend some conferences and associations. Are there particular security conferences, groups, associations that you found helpful to help educate yourself, to help do that learning?
Definitely. You know, as is one, a lot of security standards come from that group, a lot of learning experiences. They support several career development programs, certified, you know, protection professionals, as an example. For me, as the chief security officer, I'm a part of ISMA, International Security Management Association. So I get to have a lot of engagement with peers that are in different types of industries. So there's always something to learn. We have a specific restaurant loss prevention. It's RLPSA, Restaurant Loss Prevention and Security Association, that I've been a part of since I started back in 2010 with security, and that association's grown. We have a conference once a year and some small regional breakouts throughout the year. So just attending those and again, learning from your peers and taking advantage of those development opportunities has been wonderful for myself and my team.
Those are great recommendations too, for people getting started and just wanting to educate within the field of security. Absolutely. Is there anything that we didn't get a chance to touch on that you would love to add in?
No, our CFO coins this phrase, we push a wet noodle uphill in security, because, you know, it's not the top of mind with executives. You know, we're, you know, in a mindset of growth and looking at bigger enterprise challenges. So I would tell anyone who's starting a function or even an existing function trying to build it is just stay the course. Try to stay ahead and mitigate those really big threats to your business, and just continue to tell the story about what you're doing and how it's going to add value. Over time, they'll understand and appreciate, because what you don't want to happen, and what our mindset has been, we don't want to wait to put a program in after something happens. Let's think about it. Let's look at, what are the risks now and what are the ones that we need to anticipate in the future and get ahead of it. It may not have the program in place yet, but at least it's on our radar and our roadmap that we're going to build the capability or the programming and resources in order to mitigate or support the type of threat that we're seeing.
Well, first of all, I love the analogy, pushing a wet noodle uphill. I want to do a needlepoint pillow and have that somewhere in my office that captures it so well. But it sounds like so much of what you have done throughout your career, including and especially in undertaking the setting up the dedicated security function, has been really to have a vision and to learn at the same time and to listen and then communicate. I think that's such a great a great approach and a great mindset to have. And I applaud everything you've done. It's been wonderful to hear about. So, Cheryl, thank you for joining me on Women Who Protect. I've learned so much. I've been fascinated to hear your journey, and I'm excited to watch you continue.
No, thank you so much, Marissa. I appreciate it. I'm looking forward to our ongoing partnership. So thank you.
Thank you.
This episode was brought to you by the ONTIC Center for Connected Intelligence. Learn more at ontic.co/center. Again, that's ontic.co/center. It was produced by AJ McKeon. Our music is a track called Roll the Dice and was written by Mark Wallach. Please remember to rate and review our podcast on iTunes and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you have questions, we'd love to hear them. You can reach us at podcast@ontic.co or visit ontic.co/center for more information. I'm Dr. Marissa Randazzo. Thanks for listening.